Paul's last words to Timothy in his first letter were these: Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you.
It is so good to see each one of you today. This is such a great day for us to be together. It's the Lord's Day. We've come together to worship Him. He's promised us He would be in our presence, and we are so grateful for that. And we're grateful for you that are here. I see a lot of visitors today. Could have something to do with Mother's Day. And what a wonderful time to be with your mother. If you eliminated Jesus from the list of people who had walked on this planet and I could spend an evening with, eat supper with, and visit with, if you took Him off the list, it would be no question who I would want to spend that time with. I would like to have supper with my mother. And I have a lot of apologies I should have made, but I also would have lots of praise that I could give her. Not a day goes by, I don't think about her. And if your mother is still alive, hug her and let her know how much you love her. We're a busy bunch around here. We have lots of things going on. Some of them are wonderful, like the end of school for our school for the year. It's ending on a good note. We have kids doing well in their tests, and graduation is coming up. We also have sadness with our Bradley Carnes grandmother. Linda has passed away. I understand the service will be Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, and it'll be in here. I know many of you are going to want to come to that. That means that the ladies' class will not meet Wednesday morning, okay? We also have our seniors today, and we're recognizing them and loving them, and we appreciate what they mean to us. And I look over there, and there's a whole row of gifts for them, and what a great thing that we'll have. We're also having lunch today. And that'll be for all of us to celebrate our young people and the great thing that they're going to be doing. So there's no reason to be in a big hurry. This, you guys that are here to take your mother out to dinner, we're having a great dinner down the hall. Zero price, nobody in line ahead of you. So it might be a good thing that you'd want to be a part of that. Paul, he wrote that letter to Timothy and told him to guard what had been entrusted to him. That was kind of the theme of both 1 and 2 Timothy. A longer version of that charge is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul, chapter 3, excuse me, where Paul actually says these words. We're going to look at them together, verse 13 through the end of the chapter. While evil men and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from a childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. When Paul has been talking about the difficulties in life for Christians, he talks about the persecution that would be certainly heaped upon many of them. And then in verse 14, he says, "But as for you." Today, I want to talk to our young people. Some of them are going to be graduating in a few days. Many of them still have a year or two before they're going out into the world. What an exciting thing for you. I was thinking this morning about when I was your age, a long time ago. No one had computers. if someone had, the people that had them, they were enormous things, 4 or 5 foot tall and 10 or 12 foot long. You ran them by punching holes in cardboard cards and running them through it. Now the computer in your phone can do more than that big computer did in some rich person's office. We're talking about phones, there were no cell phones. Even the president didn't have a cell phone. There were no CDs, no DVDs, no thumb drives. A bit was something you put in a drill to make a hole. A byte was something you did when you ate. There was no internet. The television, I remember at our house, had 3 channels on them, and one of them wasn't very good. You're moving into a world that I can't even imagine what you're going to face. It may be grand. You may do travel in space. Or it may be dire. We may be camped under bridges or something. But one thing I know, the faith that you have, that you've said you believe, will get you through whatever it is, and you will be victorious in your work. Look at what he tells Timothy, a young man. In another place here, he says, don't let anybody despise your youth. He's a little older than you were, but as far as the society was concerned, he was a young man who had very little to offer, and yet he had everything to offer. He said in verse 14, to continue in what you've learned. What have you learned? Well, you've learned that God became flesh and dwelt among us. You've learned that God sent his Son to this earth to live and take our sins upon him. You've learned that the blood of Jesus washes away sins. You've learned that he purchased you and owns you. And you've said that out loud to people. He said, well, hang on to that. You're going to learn many more things, but nothing as important as that. You can know about Jesus and the Word of God and not know anything else, and you'll do fine. You can know everything except Jesus and his Word, and you will fail. That's the truth. He says, continue in what you've learned and what you firmly believe. I believe that you believe these things because you've told me you do. You firmly believe. The testing is about to come. You think high school's rough. Wait till you see life. The testing is tough. Hang on to what you believe. Hold on to it like it's a life ring and you're in the stormy water, because that's exactly what it is. Hold on to it like it's the only bridge across what's left of your life. He said, continue in what you've learned and what you firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it. You learn most of this from your family, and some of it from us. You know the gospel. You know the truth. You know that God created the heavens and the earth. He did it with his voice. You know that someday time will end and everything we think is important, all of our stuff, and even our houses, everything, will be gone, and it'll be us and God, and then there are only a few questions that are very important, and you know what those questions are. In verse 15, he said, from childhood, you've been acquainted with the Scriptures. Not only am I and this church proud of you, I'm proud of this church. When we have Bible classes, we actually study the Bible. And if you've been coming regularly for your 18 years, you've been in at least 1,000 hours of Bible instruction. If you came on Wednesday night, that's 2,000 hours. If you went to camp and vacation Bible school and a few other things, you might be up to 3,000 hours of Bible instruction. You're acquainted with the Scripture. Your teachers have taught you. Your parents have taught you. We are big on the Bible. A guy came by here one time and visited. He had never been in one of our assemblies before. When he left, I said, "What do you think?" He said, "You guys are big on Bible, aren't you?" I took it as a compliment. I don't think he really meant it as one, but I was glad he noticed that a thus saith the Lord is really what matters. From childhood, you've been acquainted with this. You told us you firmly believe it, and I'm begging you, and Paul is commanding you to continue in what you've learned. He says you've learned the Scripture, and he said it's in the Scripture. Look at the next verse. It's in the Scripture where we're instructed to salvation. Now, earlier he was telling about some people that teach other things in the passage that we read a moment ago. Some people don't believe it. Some people profess to believe other things and call it knowledge. But Paul knows better. He has the scars on his body to prove it, and he has the promise from God to prove it, and you know better. Look at what he tells us about the Word of God. He said, it's not only able to save us because of the instruction. The Bible doesn't save us. God saves us. But the Bible tells us about that and teaches us that. But he also tells us that Scripture is profitable to us. He said it's profitable for teaching. You will never learn everything that's in this book. You may learn everything the world has to know about chemistry at the time. You'll never learn everything that's in this book. The Bible is good for teaching. Some of the people in this room, old white-headed people in this room, have gone through the Bible hundreds of times, and every time they learn something about God, something about themselves, something about salvation, they learn what to avoid, and they learn what to hang on to. The Bible is profitable to us for teaching. It's also profitable. What else does he say here? It's also profitable for reproof. We don't always do what we're supposed to do. It's the Word of God that is our first line of defense. If God says don't do it, don't do it. If you read a verse and it makes you feel all ooky inside because of it goes against what you're doing, listen to it. It's God speaking to us and encouraging us to stay with him and to follow his path. It's profitable to us for instruction. It's profitable to us for reproof. It's profitable to us because it corrects us. Every time we look at the Scripture and every time we say yes to God and go his way instead of our way, we're corrected. We become stronger. We become closer to God. And eventually we become invincible. So that the weapons that Satan hurls against us, they bounce off our shield of faith, and we're protected with our helmet and our breastplate and the armor that he gives to us. And we find all of that in God's Word. He said it not only corrects us, but it trains us. You'll never be an athlete if you don't train. You'll never be very much in any kind of business or any kind of career or any kind of job if you don't learn what is involved in that and train with it. You'll never be in really good shape. You'll never be the husband or wife you ought to be if you're not trained. And this book teaches us how to be trained to be a person who's a whole, spiritual, strong person. It teaches us, it reproves us, it corrects us, it trains us so that we can be complete. The truth is, even the Apostle Paul would say he wasn't quite there yet. One time he said, I buffet my body. I train myself all the time because I want to finish. And his last things he said to Timothy was that he was finished. He'd finished the race. He'd kept the faith. He was ready. You want to be ready when he comes. You want to be trained. Other people will tell you all kinds of fanciful things. Many of them you want to hear. No one has to talk very hard to me to get me to think that lemon icebox pie is a good thing. But when I hear that it's probably not the best thing I should eat today, Maybe that's good news. People are going to tell you all kinds of things. Some of them you're going to want to hear. Some of them you're going to think, that would be good. Some of them you want to close your Bible and put it up. You'll be away from home. Nobody will know what you do except you and God. You'll be tempted to do these things. Don't. Embrace the Word of God, that it's able to train you and complete you so that you'll be ready to meet Him. The truth is, everybody in this room, everybody in this world will someday meet the Lord. You want to be ready. You want Him to like you. You want Him to say, well done. You want Him to say, you did it. You finished. Nothing else, listen carefully, nothing else matters but that. Nothing. It won't make any difference if you're rich or poor, if you're popular, if you've got 10,000 friends on the internet. Nothing else matters, except if you're ready to meet God. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of what you've done. I was thrilled when I saw you all up here the other night showing the many gold awards you won, teaching the Bible and singing songs and doing classes and all the things you did. I'm proud of you. But you're not done yet. You're about done with us, but you're not done yet. Don't stop. Paul would tell Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you've learned. He tells us, and when he finishes this thing about the Word of God, he says, look what he says, that you may be complete, equipped for every good work. When it's all said and done, when your life is finished, you want people to say, he was a good person. She was a great person. They did good in the name of God around this world. They helped. They helped me. That's who you're going to be. I'm a little jealous. I can't imagine the adventures that you guys are about to face. I'm a little jealous. I can't imagine the tests that you will take and that will be heaped upon you. I can't imagine the opportunities. This is not the world that I grew up in, but it's a world full of lost people, and it's a world that God still runs, and He's got you. I'm pretty confident. I think the reinforcements that are coming are good. I'm looking forward to hearing of what you do as you begin your journey out there amongst the pagans. I thank you for the opportunity to be your friend. And we thank you for what you've already given to us as a church. But we are going to plagiarize the words of Paul and charge you. But as for you, continue in what you've learned. Continue. And don't be tempted. And don't listen to people who profess that they know more than God knows. But remember the Word of God. It is sufficient to get you through this life. There may be some here today that are not ready to meet the Lord. And at that, we would invite you to come to Jesus as we stand and sing.